Friends, will you rise as you are able and join our choir in our opening hymn? It is number 403. What a friend we have in Jesus. Number 403.
Among the poor, among the proud, among the persecuted, among the privileged.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
In the private house, in the public place, in the wedding feast, in the judgment hall.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
With a gentle touch, with an angry word, with a clear conscience, with burning love.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, that the powerful might stumble, that the hidden might be seen.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
Within us, without us, behind us, before us, in this place, in every place, for this time, for all time.
Christ is coming to make all things new.
Christ, the one we follow, said this: I have come that you might have life abundantly. Let us share in that abundance here and now by offering the gift Christ came to give, that of peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with one another. Good morning, Kathy. Peace. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning, Betsy. Peace. My love. Peace be with you. Peace, good sir. Peace. Peace. By the way, I saw a photo of you in the paper. It's on our bulletin board. It's on. So we, in fellowship time, go look at it. I love that. It's a number of years old. I don't know. Peace be with you. Peace. Peace. Brothers and sisters, I say to you, good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of the one in whose name we gather and in whose footsteps we follow, I bid you welcome to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means this. You are welcome here with all of your questions and with all of your doubts, with all of your fightings within and without. For here, we are all students on the journey of faith. Here we encounter truth and beauty. Here our God meets us where we are and takes us to where we might yet be. You're welcome here with voices that sing like heaven itself and with voices that are not quite top shelf. For here we are all the choir of angels. Here we are not called to sing with perfection and poise. Instead, we are simply called to make a joyful noise. And finally, you are welcome here with all of your gifts to share and with any burdens that you bear. For here we are joined as one body. Here we celebrate when joys are brought near. Here we walk beside those who are carrying pain or fear. So know this, whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are most welcome here. In your bulletins, you will find this green sheet. We printed it in green that you might notice it, that you might take it out, look at it, and even take it home with you. I would invite anyone who has an announcement about the life of this church to come forward at this time and make that announcement here. Joanne.
Good morning. I'm Joanne, chair of the Deacon Committee. And in case you weren't here last week, just wanted to let you know that the deacons are involved in a project now, and we are editing Brent's sermons for publication, both as pamphlets in the narthex and also as a beautifully bound book. So I will be here at coffee hour after worship this morning, and I would love to hear from you if you have an interest, because we're trying to tally the number of books that we need to print. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Kathy Shane Leiden, and I'm the music minister here. And I would like to invite anyone who would like to be part of choir to join us for choir rehearsal, or just join us up in the loft in the mornings on Sunday. Our first choir rehearsal back is going to be this Thursday at 7 o'clock. And we usually have quite a bit of fun. It's kind of a lot of smiles. It would be very difficult to make me a very serious person. I hope you feel welcome to be and able to join us whenever you can. Thank you.
A couple of final announcements that I would add. One is that if you are a guest or visitor, you will notice pew cards in each and every pew. Please fill it out and put it in the offering plate so that we might reach out with a greeting to you beyond this morning. And second, during coffee hour, one thing that you will notice is that Church Council has worked hard to create a new system for our hospitality and volunteers on Sunday morning. Rather than receiving a ton of calls from a number of different people all begging you to please be a greeter, or to make food for fellowship hour, or to serve in the nursery, there is now a sign-up center that is in the Jonathan Edwards room. Go check it out during coffee hour. It lists every date between now and the end of this calendar year and invites you to go ahead and fill in slots. We will only call if there aren't names on that list. But friends, this is a time that is made for the worship of God, and so let us continue in that spirit of worship with our children. If there are children present, will you please come and join me up here? Sit on the ground with her. Come on up. Do you want to sit down, Hazel? Thank you. Good job. Good morning. How are you this morning? Okay. I'm going to start off this morning because it's early in the morning and it's kind of dark and dreary with a trick question, a hard question. Hey, Willa. What is this? It is a book. Can we be more specific? A Bible. It is a book. In fact, in this church, we think that the Bible is the most important book of all. We do. Books are made for learning. They are things that teach us a lot of different things. Now, this particular book is interesting because unlike some of your textbooks at school, it's really a combination of books. In this book is poetry. In here are songs. There are history lessons. There are folk tales. There are all sorts of things in this book. And we use this book here at church, both with our adults and our kids to learn, both in worship and in class. Now, we have a tradition here at this church that we present Bibles to the children of this church when they reach a certain age. We give kids their very own Bible in hopes that their Bible ends up looking like mine, all tattered and worn and torn and well used. You can see there are stickies in here, there are remnants of bookmarks. It's kind of coming apart. The reason it is because I use it all the time. We give it to kids in our church that you might use it too. And we give it at an age when we think you're old enough to read it and use it. And today, we are giving one such Bible to Irving because he is now ready to get his Bible. So Martha? You can grab it out of there, actually. You can take the... Perfect.
All right, today we are going to give Irving a Bible on behalf of the Christian Education Committee and the whole church. We believe that having a Bible is really important to your faith, and we know that this Bible is called an adventure Bible, and we do think that your faith is an adventure, and that you will take this Bible and you will have the opportunity to read it. And we think that our faith, we come together as a community and we learn what Jesus said and what's in the scriptures and what our faith tells us. And now that we think that you're old enough to have this Bible, you can read it on your own and you can really start to make your faith your own because you can read it and you can think about what it says and you can pray about it and you can learn. And we think that that's pretty powerful, that now not only do you have the church, but you also have your own thoughts and your own heart and your own prayers to help lead your faith. So, we will be here to answer your questions, to talk to you about your faith, and be here for whatever you need on your faith journey. But today we want to present you with this, the NIV Adventure Bible. All right, we are going to ask Irving to read a Bible verse. We're going to ask him to read Luke 24, 50 and 51. So chapter 24, verses 50 and 51.
It's marked with that bookmark for you.
Right here. Yep. When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he lifted them and was taken up into heaven.
Thank you, Irving.
Thank you very much. All right, can we get...
So, I have a question for you. Irving just read a passage about blessings. Do any of you know what a blessing is? A blessing is something you say to somebody to wish good things for them. It's a prayer. Now, in this particular passage, it says that Jesus prayed with them while he was still with them and left them with a blessing. Blessings are sort of prayers that have super glue on them. They stick to people and stay with them even after other people leave. So even after Jesus had left, his prayers and blessings for them stayed with them because blessings have super glue on them. So some of you are going off to school, and so what we're going to do now is we're going to bless those of you going off to school. We're going to bless all your teachers. And what we want you to remember is that the blessings are all of our best wishes for you that will stick with you like super glue as you go off to school. Okay?
All right, I invite any, if there are any other children that are in school, whether that's in a different building or at home, that could be preschool through high school. If there's anybody that's still out there, I invite them to come forward. So any students, preschool through high school, to please come forward, and we do have a little something for you, if that's an incentive.
And if you're going off to school, can you stand up and stand in front of the communion table? Who here is going to school? All right, well, come on with me then, and let's stand over by Martha. You can stay right over here. Oh, you brought your backpack. Good.
Yeah, and if you have a backpack or something that you have from school... feel free to bring that with you. All right. I'm glad that you're all looking out towards the congregation. You may not know this, but do you see all these people out there? They have made a promise to you and your parents, and that is to help you learn. If you were baptized here, or when your family came here, this congregation promised to help you learn about the story of our faith, about the people like Moses and Miriam, Mary and Elizabeth, Jesus and John, Peter and Paul, who have come before us, and what it means to follow Jesus and live well. They promise to help because they love you and they want what's best for you. As you start your classes this year and you learn so many things, we want you to remember what you have learned about God and Jesus here at church. We want you to remember things like peace, love, and forgiveness, about how to be good to people and why truth is so important. We know that you will find some challenges at school. Maybe a class will be really hard. Maybe another student might not be nice to you. Maybe you won't do as well as you would like. But we want you to remember that we are still here to help you. We want you to know that God and Jesus aren't just important or with you at church, but with you all the time, and that we will be praying for you all the time. So we have a little fob to go on, like a zipper pull for you to put on your backpacks. And on the front they say growing in Christ, and they have a cross on it. And then on the back it says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And that's from 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. And so each of you can take one of those, and if you have your backpack you can put it on it, or you can take it home and put it on your backpack or a pencil bag. Whatever it is that will help remind you that God is with you no matter where you are. This congregation is with you even when you're at school and when you're at home. And God can help you through any challenges that you have at school.
All right. So our next question is, do we have any adult students out there? Do we have any people in graduate school or taking community classes or anything else like that? If that applies to you, would you come over here near Martha? Could be taking a class at IS 183. It could be taking formal coursework, whatever it is. Come on down. Here we believe that learning does not end when our youth may fade. Instead, we believe that we are called to be in formation through our entire lives. Wherever you are studying, we hope that you will bring your faith and your love with you to your studies as you bring your whole self. We also hope that you will come back and tell us what you have learned and share it with us. And just so that you don't forget that God is with you wherever you are, Martha has some fobs for you to take and put with you on your keychain or your briefcase or your backpack too. Finally, if we have amongst us any teachers, including those who will be teaching in our Sunday school, if you're a teacher, an educator, or part of our educational system, please go and stand over by the other Martha, Martha Slocum over there. What's that? Yeah, stay here if you're... Well, he's going to be a teacher. He's both.
All right. All of you have answered the call to be educators, whether through teaching, coaching, or supporting the mission of education. As you do so, we pray that you carry songs of blessings with you in your daily work. What you do is ministry, and it changes lives. When we are at our best, both here in church and in the wider world, we help people become better and more full. Jesus said that he came into this world that we might have life abundantly. You are a part of the fulfillment of that promise. Please take it seriously. Always remember that you do not do that important work alone. We affirm your calling and stand beside you as you answer it. If you need us, we are here. Now please accept a token of a keychain to remind you.
So as they are getting their keychains, we are going to offer a blessing upon them. We are going to bless each of you and something that you brought with you here today so that we might send our well wishes with you, that we might send our prayers with you, and they might stick with you this day and every day. Now look out at these people. They are your cloud of witnesses. They will actually be going to class with you every day, whether you see them or not. You may not see them, but they will be praying for you and their thoughts will be with you. Now, cloud of witnesses, will you rise to your feet as you are able so that we might bless these people and these things? Let us lift one or both of our hands in the ancient sign of Christian blessing and aim it at all these people up here. And now let us pray. Oh God, bless these backpacks. Bless these pens and pencils and books and stuffed animals. Make them strong for their job of helping our children to learn and our teachers to teach. May their straps never break. May their ink never run dry. May their pages never tear, and may they never be forgotten in strange places. May the burdens in them be light. And God, perhaps even more importantly, may the bodies that bear these things be strong and growing and whole. Bless them, God. Bless them forever by your love. In the name of the great teacher at whose knee we all are students. And let the whole church say, Amen. All right, let me see the hands of the people over here who are Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers, will you take our students back that they might start Sunday school for this year? And everyone else, please return to your seats.
Our reading today comes from the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Hear now these words of truth. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him.
Will you pray with me? God of new beginnings and journeys, God of light and life, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they might open gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. Feminist poet and activist Audre Lorde penned a sentiment that the progressive Christian church needs to hear now more than ever. She wrote this: "If you don't define yourself for yourself, then you'll be crushed into others' fantasies of you and eaten alive. If we can't or won't clearly articulate our faith, if we can't or won't talk about what we stand for or who we follow, if we can't or won't describe our touchstones of faith, friends, rest assured that someone else will do so for us. If we can't or won't answer Christ's question, 'Who do you say that I am?' and do so clearly and simply, elegantly and efficiently, forcefully and emotionally, there are plenty of others out there who will do it for us. There is a county clerk in the state of Kentucky who is more than willing to talk about her faith and why she refuses to issue marriage licenses to all people. There is a whole field of Republicans, candidates, who talk about their understanding of Christian principles daily and whenever anyone asks. There is a Democratic vice president who sat down with Stephen Colbert and talked openly and frankly about his own faith and the questions that he has. Oh, there are plenty of people out there who will answer this question of who Jesus is for us, if we let them. In 1980, William Sloan Coffin Jr., perhaps the greatest embodiment of progressive Christianity we have ever seen, perhaps the most articulate and inspiring voice of progressive faith that we have known, went on the Phil Donahue Show. At the time, the Phil Donahue Show was among the most watched television shows in the entire country. He went on that television show to debate Jerry Falwell. And by all accounts, the great William Sloan Coffin Jr. got creamed. By all accounts, it was Falwell, not Coffin, who defined that moment. It was Falwell, not Coffin, who articulated an answer to Jesus' question. Off the air at a commercial break, Donahue pulled the spiraling Coffin aside and asked him, "What is wrong?" And Coffin replied that he couldn't muster the enthusiasm or the interest to once again articulate what he believed in the face of what Falwell was saying. He said he just wasn't up to it on that particular day. To which an incredulous Donahue replied, "There are millions of people out there watching who are looking for hope and meaning. Just what the bleep would it take to get you to start talking?" Friends, today, this world, perhaps more than ever before, needs people of faith that speak to the issues of the day precisely through the lens of Christ. What will it take to get us talking? Are we willing, clearly and simply, elegantly and efficiently, forcefully and emotionally, to talk about who we follow and why it matters? "Who do you say I am?" Jesus asks each of us. And if we don't answer, rest assured, there are plenty of people out there who will do so for us. Sharon Watkins, the leader of the Disciples Church, with whom the United Church of Christ just came into full partnership this year, said this. She said that for a long time, the Disciples Church has been afraid to be too emotional, too charismatic, too evangelistic, even too prayerful, for fear of what others might think. Today, she says, we're becoming more willing not only to witness to our experience of a living God in our lives personally, but also to invite others into that same experience, to reach out with evidence of an abundant living God. Are we here in Stockbridge willing to do the same thing? This world is full of grief and trouble. Entire nations are wandering as refugees looking for a place, any place to call home. Scores live on the streets in the wealthiest of nations without a home. Human rights are taking steps backwards, and even the planet is under siege and wilting before our eyes. Are we willing to invite others into our experience of our living and still speaking God? And even if we are willing, do you and I have the words and language to use? Language that is clear and simple, elegant and efficient, forceful and emotionally articulate. Who do we follow and why? For if not, rest assured someone will answer for us. In the midst of the civil rights movement, two prominent Southern white liberal activists, P.D. East and the Reverend Will Campbell, sat down one night over a glass of whiskey. P.D. East was candid and outspoken. He was brazen and controversial, and he was driven by a passion for justice. Campbell was a storyteller and a pastor, driven by a deep conviction of faith. Completely different men, yet joined together as two of the very few white voices at the forefront of the movement. In the midst of all of the trouble and turmoil of that time, with whiskey in hand, P.D. asked Campbell for a definition of his faith. P.D.E. said this, "I am not too bright, so keep it simple. In 10 words or less, what is the Christian message?" Campbell took a long draw from his whiskey and, somewhat less than elegantly, replied this. He said, "We're all," and then he used a word that I dare not use in church, but let's just say sinners for the sake of argument. "We're all sinners, but God loves us anyway." Less than satisfied, East quipped, "If you want to try again, you still have 2 words left." And yet both would say that that conversation prompted many more conversations between them in the years that followed, as they shared ideas of faith back and forth. You and I need to be able to be prepared in any circumstance, even over a glass of whiskey, to clearly and simply, elegantly and efficiently, forcefully and emotionally articulate who we follow and why it matters. In the summer of 2014, this church gathered a group of people who cared deeply about our Sunday school. We spent an afternoon talking about the various goals and purposes that we want to include in our Sunday school classes here at the church. One of the exercises, we took 21 different goal statements and asked that group, as a group, to put them in order from most important to least important. I didn't say much. I wanted to see what would happen. To my great joy, this was the number one goal they came up with: that through our Sunday school, our children will know who Jesus is and what he said and did. Today in Sunday school, our kids are back there doing arts and crafts. They are making bookmarks with stickers, colored pencils, glue sticks, glitter, and Bibles, because you need glitter when you're talking about Jesus. And on their bookmarks will be their answer to the question of our reading: who do you say that I am? What would your bookmark look like? Who do you say that Jesus is? We are a diverse bunch in this church, Part of what makes this church so great is that we are a big tent under which people of differing theologies, perspectives, and beliefs gather to worship God, learn truth, practice our faith, and talk with one another. Here in worship, we practice offering prayers and giving away peace. We practice sharing love and extending forgiveness. We practice here in the safety of this sanctuary that we might more easily live those things out in the complexity of our world. And so I think it's only good and right and true that we practice here in the safety of our sanctuary how to speak of our faith simply and forcefully. That our answers might offer hope and open dialogue in this complex world. So here's the thing. In just a minute, before our next hymn, the deacons are going to come around with the offering plates. No, they're not messing it up. Nor are they asking you to put anything inside. Instead, we invite each of you to take one of these slips of paper out of the baskets as they go by. On this slip of paper, I challenge you, I invite you, I strongly encourage you to answer Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" And I want it simpler than P.D. West did, or P.D. East. Answer it in 7 words or less. Don't do it here. Take it home with you. Over the course of this next week, ponder that question of Jesus. Pray about it. Think about it. Even wrestle with it. And then fill this out and bring it back. Be bold in your answer and be bold enough to put your name on the bottom and own it so that we might engage in further conversation like West, like East and Campbell. Hear this loud and clear. There is no one right answer. The only way that you can get this question wrong is to remain silent. The only way that you can fail this test is not to answer this question at all. Because if we can't or won't answer this question, rest assured, there are plenty of other people out there who will answer it for us. And I got to be honest with you. Watching television, I am very nervous about that prospect. This is a critical time for our faith, for our community, and for our planet. William Sloan Coffin once, on a better day than he had on the Donahue Show, said this: "The world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love." He could not have been more right if he uttered those words on this very day. So, disciples of Christ, brothers and sisters, Jesus asks us today, "Who do you say that I am?" How will you answer? How will you answer? Now let us stand and let us sing one possible answer to that question. The hymn is in your bulletin. Please be seated. Here in this church, every Sunday, we set aside time to lift our joys and concerns to God. We do so out loud so that we might not pray for them just here in this church, but that each of us might take them with us for the days to come. And so I ask you, what joys do you come with today, and what burdens do you bear? Joy for the Iran talks moving peace ahead of war. We lift up our continuing prayers for Max Stackhouse, also for your mother, and for all who suffered at 9/11 and continue to suffer to this day. Joanne. We lift up your sister Marjorie, who is facing a health crisis. Dan.
This past week, my son received a letter requesting
We lift up all of our college students and keep them in our prayers. Rick. We lift up joy for Rebecca and Alex. We lift up joy that you have been called to serve in Little Compton. And we lift up what must be a glorious feeling for you as she takes her senior pastorship of her first church. Joyous indeed. Our blessings go with you. Birthday greetings and blessings to Pope Francis. We pray that all of us in our attempts to define our faith do so through compassion. Jeremy. We lift up Austin Riggs, our partners down the street, and we lift them up during right now, which is a hard and difficult time for them. Amen to that. We lift up the presence of my parents here today with us and my stepmother who made this beautiful stole for me. We lift up the joy of being part of this congregation and the way that it serves the world and one another and the new beginning that we're starting. Middle school indeed. Our prayers for Maddie as she starts middle school, absolutely. And for her parents. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Nell. We pray for guidance for the people of Hungary that they might figure out a way to get that fence down and let people move across to new homes. Patty. We lift up prayers for your father, and I'm not sure I heard the other one. And your business partner who's dealing with a family member. We also lift up our dear Tracy, whose father passed away just a couple of days ago, right on the heels of Doris's passing. Our hearts and prayers will stay with you. Patty. And what is her first name?
Evelyn.
Evelyn. We pray for Evelyn, who's in rehab after breaking her back. Senta. We lift up the joy that children are inspired to want to play music, and we pray that resources might be found to help them. Pray for your family in Qatar that things may work out for them and that they may find a good ministry there in medicine. Yes, Diane. We lift up your nephew Kyle, who's going through a difficult time, and we lift up his family as well. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Linda.
Prayer for my
We lift up Jerry and Doris as they heal. And I should know his name, but Evan? We lift up Evan and the joy of him becoming captain of his soccer team. Tristan. Tristan is lifting up a prayer for something we will announce later, that new directories are here. And so we lift up the joy of being able to call one another and see each other. Absolutely. Let us take a moment then to let all of these prayers onto our hearts and into our minds. God of journeys and destinations, of blessings and thanksgivings. We gather here together at the start of another program year. We gather together to ask for your blessings, to seek out traces and whispers of your guidance, to dwell in your house and swim in your love. This morning, God, there are so many reasons to lift up our praise. For the joy of family and the gift of togetherness, for the quiet innocence and earnest living of our children, for the sturdy bounds of covenant and community that are found here, for the summer that has been and the fall that is about to be. God, we ask you to point us, to guide us, to teach us, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. God, we ask that you put our hearts and our compassion in step with the hundreds of thousands of migrants who are making their way across Europe looking for someone, anyone, to take them in. God, stir us to be with those cramming their way onto overcrowded trains, those who board precariously overloaded boats, and those who scale fences in search of life and hope. God, we do not pray for tasks equal to our gifts, but for gifts equal to the tasks that lie before us. Bend down low, God. Send your love in waterfalls of tenderness on all those who are sick or mourn, all those who are broken or breaking, all those who face fear, uncertainty, loss, or even the challenge of new beginnings. God, be near us and with us. Give us the courage to lift up our most desperate prayers, our most yearned for possibilities, and the truth of who we are here and now. For all these things and so much, God, we pray in the name of the one we follow. And let the whole church say, friends, freely we have been given so many gifts by God. Here is our chance to give back, to share in our abundance, to follow the model of the one who has freely given to us. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received. We offer to you, God, what you have first given us. Bless these gifts and bless all who have gathered, that your light might shine through them and through us, that your grace might flow through them and through us, and that your blessings might be revealed to all who draw breath. And let the church say, Amen. Our worship of God here within these walls is drawing to a close, that our worship of God beyond these walls might begin anew. Before you go, a couple of invitations to pass your way. First, we hope that all of you will come through these doors, where there is food and fellowship waiting to be had. While you are there, make sure to pick up one of our bright, colorful new church directories that you might have your contact information. Also, there is a Bible study beginning this week on the Gospel of John, one that will be Tuesday nights led by Jeremy in a small group format, and one on Thursday mornings led by me in a more traditional way. Please see us if you would like to be involved in either one of those studies. The bells are ringing, so let's sing our closing hymn with a joyful voice. Friends, Jesus said, you ought always to pray and not to faint. And so I say to you, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger women and men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but for power equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle. You will be the miracle. And every day you will wonder at yourself and the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. And so may the grace of God hold you and uphold you on this day and every day. And let the church say, amen.